air and naval forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against terror.
Showtime presents Homeland. Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Morena Baccarin.
This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit of terror.
David Harewood, Diego Klattenhoff.
This was an act of terrorism.
Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
We must and we will remain vigilant at the home of Russia.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I can't.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
How has the homecoming been?
It's been great. For all of us.
I appreciate you looking out for Jessica. Like you did while I was gone. What do you want to know?
How he died.
He's gone. Does it really matter how it happened?
It does to me.
We're on to the next case. Rakeem Faisal.
What did you say?
He should use an alternate route. Tell him now.
Then see what second team comes up with tonight. If nothing, move on.
What?
The one surviving terrorist from the compound in Afghanistan where we rescued Brody. Scooped him up in some shit shack in IBD.
Afzal Hamid. You and Carrie will interrogate him. With the help of Sergeant Brody.
Do you know this man?
He's my guard.
What can I do for you, Sergeant?
I believe I've earned a moment face to face with my torturer, sir.
14th man gave up an email address. We just chased the engineering department at Brighton University.
Professor, we tailed and cleared?
Correct. Find this man, Rakeem Faisal. What's going on, Saul?
Hamid's dead. Suicide.
How the hell is that possible?
Razor blade fragment. Left wrist.
What? Where did he get that?
What the hell?
And not only did Brody contrive to get himself in the room, he orchestrated Hamid's suicide, and he warned Dr. Faisal, and we, you and I, let it happen.
I think you should leave now.
With pleasure. No, I can keep that. Fuck this shit.
At night at the agency, Carrie's at her desk, replaying footage of Brody's encounter with Hamid.
How did you take this?
She pauses, zooms in on the two men grappling, then carries on playing it, not finding anything. She puts a weary hand to her face.
How is such a massive fuck-up even possible? Please. Explain that to me.
Sorry, I'm late.
Hamid probably brought the razor blade with him. The heel of one of his shoes was peeled back. It's also conceivable that he found the razor blade somewhere in the safe house. One of our sweepers might have missed it.
There is another possibility. Someone on our side could have given it to him.
That is a stretch.
Why?
You actually think someone on the SEAL team gave Hamid a piece of broken razor blade? Or maybe you think I did it. Or Saul. I certainly don't think you did it.
I'm just saying we should polygraph everyone who came into contact with Hamid. Ask each one of them directly about the razor blade. I've written up a list. We're talking about 11 people, including the SEAL team that brought him here.
She's right. We can't rule out the possibility of a mole.
What if Rakeem Faisal was warned by the same person who gave Hamid the razor blade?
Faisal? The guy that bought the house by the airport?
You want to connect him to this?
He disappeared just as we moved in. Coincidence? Or did he know we were coming?
Oh, good Christ.
Look, if nothing more, let's cover our asses. 11 polygraph tests. What's the big deal? I'll go first.
Take care of the polygraphs.
Okay.
Don't you ever do that to me again. You disagree with me, fine, but make it a sidebar. Well, you heard what the man said. Set up the polygraphs and get me Faisal.
Yes, sir.
Saul and Carrie quickly leave the meeting room, Saul clutching the polygraph list.
What a surprise. Sergeant Brody's on this list.
It's not my fault Estes let him in the room with me.
I expected to find your resignation on my desk this morning.
I had a much better idea, don't you think?
I should forget the things you said?
Yes, please.
He's right, you know. You embarrassed him in there.
Who gives a shit? Saul, we're gonna get Brody. I'll never pass the polygraph test.
We'll see.
I'll bet you everything I've got. Everything, including my monk's dream, signed by Thelonious himself.
I prefer Coltrane, not so fussy.
Brody's sitting on his bed, writing out his eulogy to Tom. He pauses for a moment and seems lost in thought.
Okay, here.
Thanks.
So, the tables will go right here, the chairs around the tables, and then just throughout the yard, okay?
All right. You got it.
Yeah, okay.
Damn it, you two, the memorial is in half an hour. You're supposed to be ready.
Ma, this little creep keeps hogging the bathroom.
Chris, let your sister use the bathroom, please.
You okay?
Not exactly looking forward to seeing Helen Walker. Kind of got on my high horse when she remarried.
Why?
I was waiting for you to come home. I guess I figured she could do the same. I have no right. Do you know what you're gonna say? At the service?
No.
Well, just be honest. I'm sure everything's gonna be fine.
Brody zips up Jessica's black dress for her.
Should hurry.
Preoccupied, Brody starts doing up his uniform tie in the mirror.
Here.
She steps forward to help him, fastening his top button and tying his tie. Their eyes meet and they share an affectionate look.
You look very handsome, Sergeant Brody.
He looks down as if unable to accept her compliment. As she walks off, he straightens his tie in the mirror and takes a deep breath.
Is your name Carrie Matheson?
Last time I checked.
Yes or no, please?
Yes.
Do you work for the Central Intelligence Agency?
Yes.
Regarding the questions you'll be asked today, do you intend to tell the truth?
Yes.
Are you married?
No.
Have you ever been married?
No.
Do you have children?
No.
Did you ever commit a minor traffic violation?
Yes.
Are you now in Mississippi?
No.
Have you ever revealed any classified information to anyone without proper security clearance?
No.
Have you ever taken any illegal drugs?
Yes.
Have you taken any illegal drugs since joining the Central Intelligence Agency?
No.
Did you pass a razor blade to Afzal Hamid?
No.
Outside the interrogation room, David's pacing up and down. As Carrie emerges, he walks straight in, saying nothing to her.
Okay.
Here we go.
All ready, sir?
David looks fed up and doesn't reply.
Is your name David Estes?
Yes.
Do you work for the Central Intelligence Agency?
Yes.
Are you married?
You know, I was married, but I cheated on her.
So that kind of soured things.
Is that a no?
No.
No. Do you have children?
Yes. Not that they're talking to me.
Did you pass a razor blade to Afzal Hamid?
No.
Saul arrives at the house that was raided. He ducks under the police tape, approaching an officer outside.
Find anything?
8 million fingerprints. Man's belt from Macy's, size 32. A couple of takeout food containers from a local Chinese restaurant. Condoms.
Condoms? What else?
A 6-pack of Diet Coke in the refrigerator.
That's it? Interview the neighbors?
In progress.
Her?
Not yet.
Saul approaches a young woman outside the house opposite.
I apologize for all the commotion, ma'am. We'll be out of your hair soon.
Oh, this is very exciting. It's not often we get a murderer living in the neighborhood.
Murderer?
That's what Marilyn across the street said, a cold-blooded murderer. Raped and strangled some poor girl over in Fairfax County.
Whew. Lock your doors tight tonight.
Oh, I will.
Mr. Jardal moved in about 3 weeks ago?
That's right.
Anything you can tell me about him?
He was very quiet and polite. They pretty much kept to themselves.
They?
He and his wife.
What happened?
I don't know. Someone must have found out about the house.
How?
I don't know.
Where are we going?
Someplace safe.
Says who? This is nuts.
There's no one there.
Yeah? How do you know?
I know. Relax, okay? We're fine.
Fine? Are you kidding me? We're not fine. We're fucked.
Faisal, a young bearded man with glasses, looks away from the young blonde woman who's behind the wheel.
Rakim.
What?
I'm sorry I dragged you into this.
You didn't drag me into it. Okay? I dragged myself into it. I am a victim of your fabulousness.
Are you saying I'm fabulous?
Yes, I am.
You are so full of shit.
They drive on along the two-lane highway.
I asked you all here today to
help me
say goodbye to my former husband, Tom Walker.
This has been a very difficult 8 years.
And now finally we can give Tom the farewell he deserves.
Tom always said that Nick Brody was his closest friend.
And Nick was with Tom when he died. Nick.
Brody rises from his seat in the church, walks up the aisle, and shares a hug with Helen. He walks up onto the altar and takes his place behind the pulpit. Looking a little uneasy, he prepares to speak. Then, in a flashback, he's pounding Tom's face.
Tom Walker was a good man. A true Marine. And the best shot I ever encountered, bar none.
Sorry.
A man in the congregation's dropped his crutches in the aisle.
Sorry. Sorry.
Tom was the opposite of pretentious.
Whatever that is.
Humble? He just wanted to get the job done and get back to his family.
Everyone looks on, as Brody seems to have difficulty continuing. Finally breaking the awkward silence, he steps out from behind the pulpit and stands to attention.
Staff Sergeant Calhoun.
A soldier rises from the congregation.
Present.
Private First Class Fernandez.
Present.
Private First Class Wakefield.
Present.
Captain Faber.
Present.
Private First Class Green.
Present.
Corporal Walker. Corporal Thomas Walker. Corporal Thomas Patrick Walker.
The congregation remain in solemn silence. Helen looks sad and tearful. Carrie's amongst the mourners, studying Brody from her seat.
Good service.
Yeah,
well, excuse me, I'll be back in a minute. Get back. All right.
He walks off from the other mourners gathered outside the church and stands on his own. Carrie walks over to him.
Sergeant Brody.
Must
have been hard. Hey, I hate to do this right now. My bosses kind of insist. We need you to come out to Langley to take a polygraph.
Why?
I'm afraid that's classified. Can you come out today?
Is this to do with Hamid?
I can't say. I'm sorry.
Well, I gotta go back to the reception. They're having it at my house.
Oh, how about tomorrow? 10 a.m.?
Fine.
Jessica was watching the two of them talking. Saul marches straight into David's office.
Frizzell's got a woman with him. Maybe a girlfriend, maybe a wife, maybe just a cohort. She's Caucasian, mid-20s, blonde hair, blue-green eyes, depending who you talk to.
Caucasian?
Yep.
What do we know about her?
Nothing. We lifted a bunch of fingerprints from the house. We're hoping at least one of them will be hers and that we'll be able to ID her.
Now, can we change gears for a second?
When this is all over, I'd like to go back to the field.
I thought you were done with the field.
Mir's been offered a job heading up the Red Cross in India, and Ed Wells retires in a few months, so, you know, I thought...
You thought you'd end your illustrious career as the New Delhi station chief?
Who said anything about ending my illustrious career?
I'll take it up to the 7th floor.
Thanks.
Sir.
Yeah.
Faisal's license plate.
Toll booth camera on I-70 caught it.
Where on I-70?
20 miles west of Baltimore.
When?
5 hours ago.
Well, if they stayed on I-70, they should be somewhere around Columbus, Ohio by now. Alert the Ohio State Police.
We also have a photo of Faisal and the girl.
Run her face through the databases. Also, see if that fancy new face recognition software gets us anything. Also, try and match your face to anyone who popped up because of fingerprints.
Faisal's asleep in the passenger seat as the blonde woman pulls off a country road and onto a narrow track, leading up to a two-story wooden house set on its own, nestling in trees.
Rakim. We're here.
This is it? You sure?
This is where they said we'd be safe.
They draw up outside the large property, both looking up at it apprehensively. They get out of the car, and the blonde woman crouches down to look at something. After scanning the ground at her feet, she stands up again.
They said they meet us here?
They said to sit tight and they'd contact us.
She approaches the house, and Faisal follows her. Through a gap in the curtains, she looks in one of the downstairs windows at a sparse room with a single armchair and a round table beside it. Faisal paces off along the wooden front porch and opens a door and starts to walk in. The blonde woman looks in another of the downstairs windows and suddenly spots the outline of something behind one of the doors. She immediately reacts.
Wait!
What?
Don't open the door.
Why?
Don't open the door.
Why?
Close that, gently. Gently. And get back in the car.
They dash to the car, and the blonde woman guns the engine and screeches off in a cloud of dust back up the drive. As they race off back onto the main road, someone's in a parked car watching them.
Oh fuck.
We're okay.
Oh fuck. You keep saying that.
Because it's true.
You showed it was a bomb.
I could see the trigger, pressure release, open the door and boom. Very simple and very effective.
What? How do you know this shit?
They trained me.
They trained you? You never told me that.
Does it matter?
Yes, it does matter. We are supposed to be in a relationship. We are supposed to be honest with each other. We should turn ourselves in.
And spend the rest of our lives being interrogated in some offshore torture chamber?
We haven't actually broken any law. They can't hold us forever.
Tell that to the guys at Guantanamo. Getting rid of this car.
I ain't dealing with another fucking politic. I'm like a skillet bubbling until it filters up. I'm about to kill it, I can feel it building up. Blow this building up, I've been sealed enough. My cup runneth over, I'm filled it up. Pen explodes and busts, ink spills my guts. You think all I do is stand here and feel my nuts? I'm about to tear shit up. Goosebumps, yeah, I'ma make your hair sit up. Yeah, sit up.
Ellen, yes. I'm so sorry. Oh, thank you. No. I'm sorry I was such a bitch to you when you decided to marry Matt.
Oh, Jessica, you were just holding on to Brody, that's all. You didn't want to let him go? And see, you were right. Period.
Hear my voice till you're sick of it. You ain't gonna have a choice. If I gotta scream till I have half a lung, if I have half a chance, I'll grab it, run!
Brody grins as he watches the platoon's antics.
Hey, Tom Walker.
Tom Walker.
Tom Walker.
Tom Walker.
Tom Walker.
Tom Walker.
You what went on over there, Nick? How'd Jim Walker get hit?
We're dug in. No. Next thing I know, we're taking fire from all sides and. And we ate dirt and prayed.
They were waiting for you. Somebody screwed up.
Somebody always screws up.
Red echelon motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
You're so full of shit, Brody.
Louder, shut the fuck up.
No. I think it's important to state, for the record, in case anybody's wondering, which they're not, but hey, the record's the record. Brody's full of shit. Right up to his fucking eyeballs.
It's always good sharing a beer with you, Lauder.
Exactly when did Wild Man Brody become a dick-sucking war hero? Trotted out by the brass so all the fucking morons in this country could have something to feel good about. So they'd stop asking, what's the point? The fuck are we even doing in Iraq and Afghanistan? And when did you, who once told me you just wanted to come back in one piece, become Boy Scout poster boy for fucking recruitment, sucking another couple thousand boys from fucking Indiana in the Bronx to go out and get the fucking legs blown off. What happened to you? Here's my question. How come Walker died and you came back alive? What's that about? Huh? What's that about?
Luck, Lauder. That's what it's all about. Good luck and bad luck.
I'm glad you brought up the subject of luck. Mike, you got anything to say about that? You being an expert on luck and all?
Such an asshole.
Can I be honest?
I'll be honest.
Why not? We're all compadres, right? Brothers in arms and all that crap. While you were away, there's not a man here. He didn't want to bend your wife over the sink, fuck her up the ass. But only one of us.
Hey, come on, man.
Brody sees Jessica hurrying over and pulls Mike off Louder and hits him with a series of brutal blows.
Brody, what are you doing?
All right, come on, man. That's
enough.
You're
not here.
You are my friend.
He slugs Mike across the face over and over again and leaves him lying on the ground as he walks off.
Brody!
The other guests and children are looking on in shock as Brody strides off to his car.
Fuck. Meet Eileen Margaret Morgan. 28 years old, brown hair, sometimes dyed blondish. Blue eyes, 5'5", 110 pounds. This photo was taken 6 years ago when she was arrested protesting outside a G8 meeting in Edinburgh. The one to the right was taken 6 months ago for her current driver's license.
Somehow she made the journey from Connecticut schoolgirl to terrorist girlfriend involved in a plot against America.
How? Why? Dig into her history. Where did she grow up? Where did she go to school? Who were her friends? Where and when did she meet Faisal? All of it. Anything more about the car?
I want every cop on the Eastern Seaboard looking for that damn thing.
Sir?
Yeah.
Sorry to bother you, but it's...
What? Spit it out.
It's time, sir.
Anybody know what he's talking about?
I think it's time for your polygraph.
Polygraph? I don't have time for a fucking polygraph.
It's all right, Saul. You'll be fine. If anything comes up, I'll come and get you. You're not going to miss anything important. Please help me out here. This is how we're going to get Brody.
Look for any contacts overseas, especially in the Middle East. School exchange programs, graduate school, kibbutz, anything.
This is the polygraph room, sir.
Is that right?
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Saul. How's everything?
I'm just peachy.
Okay. Would you hold that for me? Thank you. And could you hold this for me? Thank you.
Born December 25th. 1983, Houston, Texas. Father's Owen Robert Morgan, mother's Abigail Sarah Lifelighter. Raker Vice President. He ever work in the Middle East?
Saudi Arabia, 1991 to 96. Looks like he's a pretty big deal in the oil business.
Okay. So we've got a rich American girl living in Saudi Arabia for 5 years between the ages of 8 and 13. When did Faisal leave Saudi Arabia to study in the States?
1995.
So they overlap by 4 years. What happened, Eileen? What did you see?
Is your name Saul Berenson?
For Christ's sake.
Is your name Saul Berenson?
Yes.
Saul, calm down. We've been through this before. Take a deep breath. Think of something pleasant, okay? Okay.
Okay.
Do you live at 413 Circle Drive in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
There we go. Much better. Do you work for the Central Intelligence Agency?
Yes.
Is your office on the fifth floor?
Yes.
Are you planning on telling the truth today about Afzal Hamid and the razor blade?
Yes.
Did you pass Afzal Hamid a razor blade?
No.
Saul? You gotta relax or we'll be here all night.
I can't be here all night. We got an emergency going on out there. The real world will not wait for these bureau fucking cratic idiocies.
We'll finish it tomorrow. Saul?
Where'd she go after Princeton?
Jordan, the Peace Corps.
How long?
2 years.
Do any traveling while she was there?
Egypt, Lebanon, oh, here we go. Saudi Arabia, March 22nd to March 30th, 2004.
Any overlaps with Faisal?
March 26th to 27th, 2004. Faisal visits his grandmother.
Eileen Morgan and Rakeem Faisal met somewhere between 1991 and 1996 in Saudi Arabia. They reacquainted themselves there March 26th, 27th, also in Saudi Arabia. They were childhood friends.
Saul's returned.
That was fast.
Well, I gotta go back, finish tomorrow. I figured you might need me out here.
I A naive, weak-willed, American rich girl falls madly in love with a Saudi engineer who happens to be a terrorist. Sacrifices all to be with him and help fulfill his mission, whatever the fuck that is. Sound convincing?
Why hasn't she cracked? At least a little bit. Called her parents, run away, something. Things are getting pretty hairy for an amateur.
Maybe we've got it backwards. Maybe she's the one driving this.
She's the terrorist?
Saul and Carrie both ponder this.
Carrie here.
It's me,
Brody. Yeah, you gave me your number.
Should I have?
What's wrong?
I can't do the polygraph tomorrow.
Why not?
I just can't. I'm a mess. Not the worst fucking day.
I could tell him my name, it would sound like a lie.
Where are you?
In a dingy barroom. Brody's propping up the bar, holding an ice pack over his knuckles, when Carrie walks in. She takes a seat at the bar next to him.
Well, you didn't have to come.
I'll have whatever he's having.
Bourbon, straight bourbon.
Okay. What's the difference, I always wondered?
Straight's been aged for 2 years in charred oak barrels.
She takes a sip from the tiny shot glass, grimacing.
Ugh. Still tastes like gasoline to me. What happened to your hand?
I decked my best friend.
Ouch.
Kurt's like a motherfucker, excuse my French.
I was talking about your friend.
Don't, he's an asshole.
Wanna tell me about it?
You ever been married by any chance?
Nope.
Why not?
It hasn't felt right quite yet. Or as important as what I do for a living. Plus the guy I was seeing when I left for Iraq decided I wasn't worth the wait.
Nice.
Can't say I really blame him. I mean, it's not like I was a little misfaithful over there. Hey, if you don't slow down, I'm never going to be able to catch up.
How come when I met you at the safe house the other day, you pretended like we hadn't bumped into each other at the support group?
Oh, that.
Yeah, that.
You mean aside from the fact that I'm not supposed to get help from counselors outside the agency?
Is there another reason?
I don't know. I was standing there that night in the rain. I figured who else had to know? What? I like it when life is like that.
Like what? What?
Heightened somehow. When I was a girl, my friends and I used to play chicken with the train on the tracks near our house, and no one could ever beat me. Not even the boys.
He looks at her intrigued. With a grin, she downs her shot and gestures to the barman for another.
Can't stand the Wizards. What kind of name is that anyway? For a basketball team? The Wizards? What are they? Like magicians in hoods?
Redskins?
I love the Redskins. No, I grew up on the Redskins. My father thought he was a Redskin. Mm-hmm. This is taking me to games in the freezing cold. One time, wore sleeping bags. We climbed in, we zipped them up. All you could see was our eyes.
You have great eyes.
Thank you.
Kind of secret.
Comes with job. Secret of eyes. It's a requirement. Really? Oh, Jesus, we drank too much.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, I hope I don't puke.
You're gonna puke?
No. Right. I'm half Irish.
The Irish don't puke?
Nah. Only we have to salute the British. This is me. Wanna know what it's all about? Polygraph.
thought that was classified.
It is. Hamid's dead. Someone slipped him a razor blade in the safe house and slit his wrists.
She looks at him coyly, swaying a little. They fall into one another's arms and kiss passionately. He opens the back door of her car and pushes her down onto the rear seat, still kissing hungrily. She pulls her underwear down over her shoes as Brody lies on top of her. Her mouth gapes open as he thrusts into her. His pace quickens and he thrusts harder. Now spent, they kiss one another on the lips. In a motel room, Faisal's pacing up and down, while Eileen's calmly watching TV.
Any more secrets you want to share?
Shh.
Huh? What else don't I know?
I can't hear the song.
How can you just sit there listening to wailing cowboys when our lives are falling apart?
I need to relax. I can't think straight if I don't relax.
No, what we need is a fucking plan.
What if we went to Mexico?
We should turn ourselves in.
No!
Yes, we can ask for protective custody.
I'd rather die.
Yeah? Well, you're going to.
I gotta pee.
She walks off into the bathroom and stands at the mirror, bracing herself on the hand basin. Faisal gets up off the bed and turns off the TV with the remote control. Then, he hears a car pull up outside. Gunshots ring out and Faisal's peppered with machine gun bullets fired through the window. Eileen peers through a gunshot hole in the bathroom door to see Faisal's body lying face down. She tumbles out of the bathroom window and scales a wire mesh fence. Saul arrives home, closing the front door behind him and taking off his jacket. He spots Mira in the kitchen.
You're awake.
Jet lag, I guess.
I got some good news.
Do you want some tea?
Tea? Sure, thanks. I put in for the New Delhi station. Ed Wells retires in a few months. I believe I got Estee's backing. Take the new job. I can come with you.
I don't want you to come with me.
What?
I want to go alone. I need to go alone.
Why?
I just do.
For how long?
I don't know.
A week?
I don't know.
A month? What?
I don't know.
No job. Just deploy. Your way of letting me down gently.
Saul, we're like good friends. Sharing a house. You do the dishes, I water the garden. You are watching football, I watch cooking shows. You play golf, I do yoga.
Sounds perfect.
Brody pulls up outside his house. As he turns off the engine, the front door opens and Jessica comes out with Chris and Dana. He gets out of the car and the children stare at him, but Jessica ignores him.
Come on, we're late. Come on.
Hey, have a good day at school, sugar bunny.
Hey. Dana.
Dana lingers for a moment, then walks off to the car. Brody, still in his uniform, shirt untucked, looking bedraggled, watches them drive off.
Did you go to college?
Yes.
Did you major in political science?
Yes.
Have you ever sold secrets to an agent of another country?
No.
Are you married?
No, not really.
Yes or no?
I don't know, Larry. Okay. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Technically?
Technically, yes.
Carrie's observing.
Did you give Afzal Hamid a razor blade?
No.
That's it. You're free.
Saul's helped to remove the polygraph paraphernalia.
I hope I never see you again.
Oh, you will.
Thanks, buddy.
He walks out of the polygraph room and into the observation area, where he finds Carrie.
Trouble at home. It'll blow over. Brody next?
Brody's next. Assuming he shows up. This is it, Saul. Finally.
Let's hope.
Brody's escorted along a corridor by two agents. He's shown into the polygraph room, briefly hesitating at the door before walking in.
Come on in, Sergeant Brody. Just stand over here. This won't take long. Could you just take your jacket off and put it on the chair there?
Saul and Carrie are both watching. Carrie looks anxious, and Saul puts a comforting hand on her shoulder.
Okay, you can have a seat. Okay. And just relax. And answer all the questions honestly. Yes or no? All set? Okay. Is your name Nicholas Brody?
Yes.
Are you a member of the U.S. Marine Corps?
Yes.
Do you intend to tell the truth here today?
Yes.
Have you ever sold secrets to a foreign government?
No.
Have you ever been arrested?
Yes, I borrowed my dad's Pontiac one time. I was 15 years old.
Have you ever been arrested for a felony?
No.
Have you ever killed a man?
Yes.
Did you pass Afzal Hamid a razor blade?
No.
Do you live at 3319 West Chapman Street?
Yes.
Are you sometimes called Nick?
Yes.
Is Boston the capital of Massachusetts?
Yes.
Do you know Afzal Hamid?
Yes.
Did you meet him in Syria?
Yes.
Did you slip him a razor blade?
No.
Ask him again.
Did you slip Afzal Hamid a razor blade?
No.
Ask him if he's ever been unfaithful to his wife. Go on, ask him.
Have you ever been unfaithful to your wife?
No.
Okay, Larry, wrap it up.
Thank you, Sergeant Brody.
That it? We all done?
He's lying.
He passed the polygraph. Same one you and I take. It flub every time, or at least I do. It's over. Man is clean.
Saul.
You can't deny the facts. What we just witnessed.
Just because you find him inconvenient?
So? Now we know that Sergeant Brody's been faithful to his wife. Question. Why do we care? What was that all about?
Flustered, Carrie walks out without giving a response. Carrie's walking through the car park when Brody pulls up, blocking her path.
Get in.
She hesitates for a moment, studying him. Then, with just the trace of a smile, she walks around to the passenger side and gets in. Then Brody drives off.